In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.
This is D. Orlando Ledbetter of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution here with the 331st episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. Everything you need to know about the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons wrapped up their 2022 draft, and we want to get up close and personal this week with quarterback Desmond Ridder. He's the third round pick. We're going to title this episode, When Will Desmond Ridder Take Over? He's the third round draft pick, signed to work initially behind Marcus Mariota and maybe take over in the future for the Atlanta Falcons. Now, there's a lot of different ways to develop quarterbacks. Some come in and play right away. Some take a little bit of seasoning, kind of like Patrick Mahomes when he came in with Kansas City. He didn't start right away. He set all that freshman, that rookie year, and then played late in the season, and they saw he was ready to go. So, you know, it's a lot for the quarterback. Sometimes they're not calling plays in college, rarely under center. It's a whole different operation. You got to command the huddle. You're calling all the information, identifying the linebackers. You know, it's a lot to put on a rookie quarterback's plate. So, and we saw that last year. So we're going to, Coach Arthur Smith said Marcus Mariota is going to start out. And then, you know, if Desmond could beat him out along the way, then I guess he'll get on the field. So that's the way we're seeing this. As for when will Desmond Ridder take over, sounds like there's going to be a developmental period for him. But if he takes off and picks it up real fast, they're not going to be adverse to that, more than likely. But here we go. We got a lot here from Desmond, Coach Arthur, and General Manager Terry on the new Falcons quarterback as they try to move on in the post-Matt Ryan era here in Atlanta. We asked Ridder, when did the Falcons start talking to him?
I think they were down there at the Senior Bowl, but then they came up for Pro Day, had a meeting, basically brought the whole staff with them, and had a good about an hour and a half, two-hour meeting where some of it was broken up into film and others was broken up into conversations. And, I think the interactions between the both of us and Coach Ragone and Mr. Terry, you know, they all went really well. But I think we really hit it off there at Cincinnati at Pro Day. And they said that they didn't even need me down for a 30 visit, that they had all they need. I put my best foot forward, and that's what they're going to get from here on out.
Well, there he is, Desmond Ridder, the quarterback from the University of Cincinnati. Led the Bearcats to the playoffs last year, 44-6 over his time as a starter in Cincinnati. He's out of St. Xavier High School in Louisville. So I asked Cunningham, I said, hey, is that Chris Redmond's school? He's like, no. Redmond went to Trinity. That'd be a big, big rumble if you say that. The St. X and Trinity folks, I guess, are rivals in Louisville. So he went to Chris Redmond's rival school. So, when they were up there, we wanted to know from Ridder how his conversation with Arthur Smith went.
So basically how that goes is, like I said, during that hour, two-hour meeting that we had right there at Pro Day, it's going over an install. It's just like their base, we'll say OTA one install. So maybe it's a couple protections, a couple plays, a couple run plays, a couple pass plays, and a couple formations. We go through that for about 30 minutes, and then we might throw on some of my film from Cincinnati and have myself talk through that, my reads, my protection changes, my adjustments. And then we'll come back to that, and he'll kind of quiz me on it. Like I said, during that meeting, I felt like I did really well. I put my best foot forward. But that was something for me as far as that side of the game, the mental side of the game, that I'm not going to say comes easy, but It's something that I love to do. It's something that I love to study, and so it makes it easy for me.
So there it is. You know, he's got to learn the playbook, and he's a hard worker by all accounts. And so that's what they were testing to try to see how fast he could pick up the playbook here. He also compares well to the quarterback, the current quarterback, who was also signed this offseason, Marcus Mariota.
As far as our athletic abilities, our leadership, our ability to extend plays, and then be smart with the ball once we do extend plays, I think that's something we do really well, being able to use our legs to get outside the pocket and making an efficient throw, not doing anything dumb with the ball, and being able to protect yourself for, you know, as this game is for longevity. So I think, you know, the both of us do a really good job of that. And so, like I said, I'm excited to get down there to learn from someone who's been in the game for a long time, who's won a lot of games at the highest level. I'm excited.
Okay, so that's from Desmond Ridder on talking about himself and Marcus Mariota. So we did a little quick research project on quarterbacks, not named Tom Brady, that start in the NFL that weren't selected in the first round. Okay. So throw Tom Brady out. He's an outlier. He went sixth. He didn't go in the first round. So we looked at the third and second and fourth. And, Russell Wilson started right away in the third. He was taken in the third round, the 75th pick. Okay. Desmond Ridder was the 74th pick. So that's a natural comp. It's 2012, though, at 5'11", 215. Of course, he comes in and helps Seattle get over the top there, get two Super Bowls, 1-1. Ridder is 6'4", 215, so he's taller than anybody on my list here. 2012, Kirk Cousins was selected in the fourth round, 102 overall, 6'3", 205. And in 2014, Derek Carr went in the second round, 36th overall, 6'3", 210. And then Dak Prescott went in the fourth round, 2016. He was the 135th pick overall, 6'2". He's 6'2", 238. So he had to climb up the ranks to get the job. Kirk Cousins had to leave Washington, or he got it in the third year, over RG3. They kept franchise tagging him. Then Minnesota gave him the great deal. And, of course, Derek Carr has been with the Raiders since being taken in 2014, a couple trips to the playoffs. Russell's the only one with the Super Bowl wing. So if you can get you a third-round quarterback and get a Super Bowl ring, that's a win. But he had the Legion of Boom defense out there working with him, too. So those are just a couple, you know, when you draft somebody in the third round, it's like, well, hey, what's the ceiling and what's the floor? Okay, the floor is, you know, a bunch of guys that never make it, and I didn't even go over that list. But I looked at the ceiling, and it's, guys that are in the league right now, like Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott, Kirk Cousins, and Derek Carr. Russell with the only Super Bowl appearances of the group. So he was drafted in nearly the exact same spot as Desmond Ridder, the Falcons quarterback, selected in the third round, 74th overall. So we get back to Desmond and like, hey, when can you come in and compete for the job?
I'm going to go in there and do whatever it takes, whatever they need me to do. I'm a team player at the end of the day. I'm not an individual person. I'm a person who puts the team first. And so whether that's me going down there to start, me going down there to sit behind Marcus to learn, or whether we go down there and we split reps, whatever it may be, like I said at the beginning of this interview, I'm excited to get down there and to be a sponge, to learn so much new football, like so many new concepts. I'm just a student of the game, and I'm excited. And I'm excited to be in Atlanta. I can't express that enough.
Yeah, of course, you know, the elephant in the room, too, is, they did take Ridder ahead of Malik Willis of Liberty. And Liberty went 12 picks later to the Titans. That's the elephant in the room. They're both going to be compared here in 3 years and see where they're at. You know, Mariota and Jameis Winston came out the same time, and they went 1-2. So they're attached to the hip for years also. You know, Jameis is, both of them are, well, Jameis is on his second team and Mariota's on his third team. And, you know, need to, you know, Jameis threw for a lot of yards, but a lot of interceptions. Marcus had a losing record in Tennessee, didn't play the last couple of years with the Ravens. So, you know, they'll be together, and Ridder and Willis will be together. So, you know, as we move on, we want to know what Arthur Smith saw in Ridder to take him in the third round of the draft.
We like his skill set. We like his leadership qualities too, right? So he's played at a high level. It's impressive what that program did. And like all these guys, when you get them, I mean, there are certain things they may have asked if they've been successful in college, and that's a part of his coaching, you know, to enhance some of those skills. And the mental makeup of him, I thought his decision-making was – I thought he had a good feel in the pocket. And there's a couple of little minor technical things that you can always work with the quarterbacks. So that's what gave us a lot of comfort.
So they believe they could work with him. You know, the biggest reclamation project they had was Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee. You know, he played in Miami, but, you know, probably played too early, wasn't ready, and they tried to just throw a bunch of short passes with him, but he never was going to win you any games. They're hoping this quarterback here can win you some games eventually once he's developed properly. But, you know, the Falcons sent, they did their homework. They sent about 14 people up to Cincinnati and spent a lot of time with Desmond Ridder in the classroom and on the field. And, you know, so they did their homework. They like Luke Fickell. That's one of Vrabel's buddies, old Buckeye buddies. And, you know, so Coach Arthur Smith is cool with that group. So, you know, he's proud of what they've been able to do up in Cincinnati. So also, when they were meeting with Ridder, we wanted to know, hey, what did he say to impress you and the Falcons entourage that was up there to meet with him?
That's what you want, you know, no different than we sent, if you want to use the word entourage, Terry's entourage. You know, we went out to L.A., you know, we went to Cincinnati. We're fortunate that to be able to work in an organization that allows you to do that. Dez, you know, he's made of the right stuff, too. We got a lot of good background on him. Obviously, he watched the tape. He saw what he did at that program in Cincinnati. He felt very comfortable with him when you see him and when you got to meet with him in person. I got a ton of respect for Luke Fickell and that program in Cincinnati. It's really impressive what they do and their the way their culture is. And that guy, Dez, went in there and he won. And he'll come in here and he'll compete and he'll do the right things. And we're, like I said, D-Led, we're excited to bring a player like that in here.
All right, so they you know, have to get a new quarterback. They flirted with Deshaun Watson. Ticked off Matt Ryan, traded him for a third-round pick, and drafted Desmond Ridder over Malik Willis in the third round of the draft. Here's General Manager Terry Fontenot on if he had a plan to draft a quarterback this year.
I didn't. There was never a time where me and Arthur said we have to come out of this draft a quarterback, or we need to. We didn't. We really stayed true to the process and stayed true to the integrity of the board. We really did, and he was the best player at that time, and that's why we took him off the board. We had it stacked, so there was never a time where we said, we gotta get it. If we would have come out of this draft and it wouldn't have fell that way, we wouldn't have got a quarterback. We're excited that it fell this way. We're excited that Desmond's here, though.
So, again, there you have it. There's Terry Fontenot saying that Desmond Ridder was the best player on the board in the third round with the 74th pick. So, with that, we're going to toss to our break. This is the Bow Tie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Hip-hop is a product of black people. It's a product of black song and celebration.
The Atlanta Journal-Constitution presents
hip-hop's most pulled elements are pulled from the South.
A Southern hip-hop story.
We always go back to that moment of the Source Awards.
Everybody wants your rhythm, but they don't want your blues.
The biggest names in hip-hop.
Atlanta is still the mecca for hip-hop.
50 years.
No one can deny.
One film.
The power of the South now.
The South got something to say. Streaming now at AJC.com/hip-hop.
The AJC's trusted veteran political voices, Greg Bluestein, Patricia Murphy, Tia Mitchell, and Bill Nigut are the essential source for Georgia politics. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Politically Georgia. Sign up for the newsletter, download the podcast, subscribe to the AJC.
Welcome back to the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. We're going to wrap up here with the interview we did with Kyle Hamilton, the Marist product, went to Notre Dame, went 14th to the Ravens. We told y'all last week that he wouldn't slip past the Ravens, even though he did slip, didn't get past them. Then we're going to hear from D'Angelo Malone and a couple of the UGA draft picks for the Atlanta Falcons. But we caught up with Kyle the day after he got drafted. He flew from Vegas to Baltimore after he talked with the Baltimore media. We got a call from him and discussed his drafting by the Ravens.
It feels great. I mean, I'm with a great franchise and had a lot of success, and it could have been a more perfect storm, I think.
Yeah, how was the process? I've been texting Doug and your dad throughout to keep track of everything, but how was it for you?
It was good. It was good. It was long. It was hard, but it was good at the end of the day. Me and everybody was awesome.
Mm-hmm. What did the Ravens say and how you might fit in their operation? I know Coach Harbaugh was reportedly very impressed with you.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, I'm just bringing some flexibility. I think I bring a lot of versatility and different things that I can do that can free up some other spots for other people and also deepen the playbook a little bit. So I think we're all on the same page in that sense.
Mm-hmm. And what about, your roots here in town and playing at Marist? What part of that, at what point did you feel that might, lead you to this, juncture?
It's hard to see in high school because you still got a long way to go, but Marist definitely prepared me well, and just playing football in Georgia, very competitive and going against D1 dudes every week, so it prepares you really well, and I thank Marist for that.
Well, there you have it, Kyle Hamilton, the 14th overall pick in the draft out of Marist School. He's going to be a Baltimore Raven, 14th overall in the draft. So one of the more intriguing picks for me was D'Angelo Malone out of Western Kentucky. Edge rusher, comes with the seal of approval from the real Dr. Pass Rush, Chuck Smith. So let's hear a little bit more from D'Angelo Malone on how he must improve in the NFL.
Honestly, I probably would just say just adding on weight, just adding weight to my frame and just setting a harder edge. So as of right now, I'm 242. My goal weight is 250. Yeah, it was always something like that I set myself towards. It's a goal. 250, I feel like I'll be able to, play as hard as I can, with setting harder edge. And, honestly, the league has guys at 6'7", 340. So, just matching up to their size, I feel like 250 would be a great size for me.
All right, yeah, D'Angelo Malone is Justin Schaefer's cousin. He played at Cedar Grove, too. He's 242. They listed him at 240. Please note, John Abraham was a 255-pound small end in the 4.3. So, the 3.4 ends are usually, a little bit bigger, but he's a quicker one. So, 250 would be a good place for him to get to, but that shouldn't be a problem for him. He's one of the kids to get up there with 250 but not lose any speed. So, we wanted to hear from D'Angelo. We didn't get to do as much on him during the draft, so I wanted to make sure we double back and heard from him here today at the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. Now, the last two picks were from the University of Georgia. The Falcons were part of that record class where 15 players got selected from Kirby Smart's program. They took guard Justin Schaefer and then blocking tight end John Fitzpatrick. Schaefer's a run blocker, run grader. He's got to work on his pass protection. Fitzpatrick's a tough guy. He went to the Marist School also. We asked Justin Schaefer and John Fitzpatrick how it feels to be a part of that UGA record-setting draft class.
It's more exciting for me just to see everybody get drafted and, like, everybody accomplish their goals. Like, everybody, like they say, it's only, like, a 1% that 1% of players that get opportunity to play football. So just knowing that the brothers that I went to war with every day at Georgia, just knowing that they got an opportunity to play, just made me just put a smile on my face.
It means a lot. Coming in with the guys back in 2018, with Jamari, with Schaefer, all these guys. Schaefer was a year before. but, you know, getting over that hump, working hard, but finally getting over that hump and winning that national championship and then seeing all the success, you know, no one was really worried about individual accolades. We all bought into one common goal, and now all these individual accolades are coming to fruition.
All right, there are the two Georgia Bulldogs drafted by the Atlanta Falcons in 2022. The Falcons had not selected a player from the University of Georgia since the 2011 draft when they selected linebacker Akeem Dent in the third round. I think Akeem was last, he was coaching with the Texans, and you know, things went crazy down there. I lost track of him. I have to find out where he is, but he got into coaching after he got done playing. So we have some other housekeeping matters to do on the Bowtie Chronicles podcast, starting with Grady Jarrett's three-year contract extension. $34.5 million of it is guaranteed. He's his average of $16.5 million is the highest of a interior D lineman past the age of 29, passing Cam Hayward, who signed one in 2020 that was 16.4. Now, Grady's APY, average per year, could go up to $17 million if he hits a couple incentives there along the way. So Grady's locked up for the next couple years, lowers their salary cap number, and helps the team be able to sign their rookies and get ready for the rookie mini camp, which will be May the 13th and 14th. Now, also some news. Right guard Chris Lindstrom had his fifth-year option picked up, $13.2 million for next season. And then right tackle Caleb McGarry did not have his picked up. So we've seen this play out two different ways over the last 2 years. Tack didn't get his. He started flipping out around the trading deadline time, and they just cut him. So it didn't work out that year. Last year, they granted Ridley's. He had problems. And they did not grant Hayden Hurst's. Hayden Hurst kept his mouth shut, played ball, got him a new deal with the Bengals after the season. So McGarry's going to be in a competition. We don't know who all the people are going to be. But he's been durable, just hasn't, you know, like we wrote the day got drafted, was going to struggle against elite speed, and he's not been able to do a good job in pass protection. And he was supposed to have a high side in the run game, and we haven't really seen that either. So don't be surprised if they try to replace him and use him as a backup swing tackle and let him get to free agency after this season. So another thing here, we got the rookie minicamp coming up, and you know, after the draft, they go to the eighth round, is what coach, what GM Terry Fontenot said, and they signed 13 UDFAs, undrafted rookie free agents, and let's go over that list. And they've also got a bunch of kids coming in for tryouts. One of the kids coming in for a tryout is Will Adams, the cornerback from North Carolina Central, from one of the HBCUs. So it's a lot of HBCU players. Only four got drafted. Several got signed as UDFAs, and a lot are getting invited for tryouts to the rookie minicamps. So Falcons had some interesting ones. We'll go through them in the list here right now. Jarrett Bernhardt, 6'1", 95. What's interesting was he's the quarterback at Ferris State, but he was the nation's top lacrosse player at Maryland before transferring to play one year at Ferris State. So I'm interested to see how he's going to look as a returner, receiver type, but clearly athletic, you know, from lacrosse and played some quarterback. His numbers are in the story, but he put up some amazing stats, led Ferris State to the Division II title. Wide receiver Stanley Berryhill from Arizona, 5'11", 190. Corny Dang, outside linebacker, 6'6", 240 from California. Lean guy. Cornerback Matt Hankins, 6', 181, Iowa. Safety Brad Hawkins, 6'0", 207, Michigan. So defensive lineman Timothy Horn, 6'4", 323, from Kansas State. Wide receiver Tershawn James, 6'2", 214, from Central Connecticut. Inside linebacker Nate Landman, 6'2", 238, Colorado. Defensive lineman Bryce Rogers, 6'2", 309, UC Davis. Derek, it's another one to circle here. D lineman Derek Tangelo, 6'1", 296, Penn State. He played with Falcons, Arnold Ebikene. I got to work on his pronunciation. Arnold, they just call him AK. We'll call him AK until we get it together. Punter, big leg punter, Seth Verner from Portland State. And then Taylor Vrabel, 6'6", 315 tackle, left tackle from Boston College. That's Mike Vrabel's son. He's got to get stronger, according to my folks. But, yeah, he started, got a big frame. You know, he's going to grow, got to get a little stronger. But, yeah, keep an eye on him as a tackle prospect for the Falcons. And Leroy Watson from University of Texas at San Antonio. They call him the chef. Somebody sent me some videos of him cooking and so forth. So maybe we'll get to the chef here during the rookie mini camp. But he's 6'5", 275 pounds, UT San Antonio. Now, also, there were a couple other moves here before we get out of here. In the 331st episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast, Mike Davis was cut. They drafted Tyler Allgeier in the fifth round, running back from BYU. Davis is gone. That saves him $2.5 million. Willie Beavers, who's a long shot to make it on the line, was released. And James Valters was also released. They had drafted AK and D'Angelo Malone at the outside linebacker spot, and they're going to try to get those rookies up to speed as fast as possible. And so James Valters and his folks, Fred Lyles, are looking for a new team for James. So good luck for James. All right, with that, we're going to wrap it up here. We titled this episode about when would Desmond Ridder start. So we'll see. We'll keep an eye on that. Can look, you know, the OTAs are starting up. Then we'll have the veteran mini camp in June. The rookie mini camp is coming up. So we'll get to see Ridder at the rookie mini camp for sure. So with that, we're going to get on out of here. Take care and have a great rest of your week.
I'm Ernie Suggs, race and culture reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
And I'm Ned Ravone, lifestyle columnist. Atlanta has been known as the Black Mecca for so many years, but that means something different to everybody.
It means everything to me. I've been living here for 24 years, and I am still amazed at how rich the city's Black culture continues to grow. Every day I wake up, I learn something new.
Well, you all can learn something new by subscribing to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's new newsletter called Unapologetically ATL. It's all about the people, the events, and the entertainment happening in Metro Atlanta that Black people might want to know about.
Like historically Black colleges and universities.
Atlanta's thriving arts scene.
And the city's growing neighborhoods.
Wherever you live, we want to hear from you. We want to hear what issues are important to you.
So subscribe today at www.ajc.com/unapologeticallyATL.
Only from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.